Today we're going to speak about injections in poultry. And just sort of introduction is that governments require that poultry, chickens and duck, turkeys, etc., be vaccinated for different diseases, particularly one of the ones that they're particularly checked for is called Marek's disease, and that they need to be vaccinated. There are six different ways that those vaccines can be given that I'm aware of. That I've read about, and one is called subcutaneous, that means under the skin, either the back of the neck, or in the place where the, the abdomen and the thigh come together. Another is called intramuscular, that means in the chest, or the thigh, or the wing. Intraocular means through the eyes, or a nasal drop, in the wing web, that's part where the wings are, on the underside of the wings, or they spray it into the hatchery, or they mix it into the drinking water. So a number of those pose potential issues of traces, which is to say is if we make a hole in the wrong place in the bird, then the bird is going to be a trapher. So for the primary ones we're going to think about are if you give it in the neck, then you have a potential concern of nucleus efficient. The vesicle is the part of the is the pipe, the esophagus that carries the food that the animal swallows the food in. Even any hole in that part of the animal, makes the animal to a trapho. If you give it into the leg, intramuscularly of the leg, you have potential questions with the tumosekidin. Those are tendons that run on the bottom of the legs, and if one of those are cut, the animal's also is a trapho. And if you do it into the body of the bird, then you potentially have issues on the wings or the tails, other organs that could be punctured that potentially could cause it to become trapho. we are not going to be able to look at all the details of that question, but we're going to speak about a whole number of them. But let's first talk about the older part of the question, and then we'll spend more time on the more modern version of this question. And a lot of the issue that a lot of the discussion about the earlier way that this was done, the traditional way to do it, just to give injection into a young, maybe a day-old chicken, has to do with two tshuvas in the Chassam Sofer. They, in turn, have to do with a prima kadum. And it's a question whether the Chassam Sofer means to say is, he's understood to possibly be saying that if an expert, a trained person, gives an injection or does something to the animal with care to not hit any of the organs that would cause it to be a trapho, then we could accept that person did it correctly and not worry that the animal is a trapho because of this procedure that happened. His Talmidim, the Talmidim, the Shevet Sofer and the Emir Eish have believed, in fact, and most think that that's what the Chassam Sofer is saying, that if there's a reason to, the person who's doing it is being careful, he's a skilled operator, and he knows what he's doing, then we can assume that he's doing the procedure correctly, and therefore don't have to worry that he became a trapho. So in Eretz Yisrael, where much of this continues to go on, they aren't as yet using the more modern methods we're going to talk about in a minute. There, some of the hashgachas accept that, and some of them don't. Some of them accept and say, listen, the people giving these vaccines to the young chicks, the day-old, two-day-old chicks, those people know what they're doing, they're on top of it, they have an expertise in what they're doing, and therefore, whatever they do, we could assume they don't make it into a trapho. And others say, no, we need to have hashgacha there. It's not so clear that the hashgacha could really be on top of it, because it's not the mashgiach does the vaccinations, but they feel they should have a hashgacha there for someone to keep an eye on to make sure they do it correctly. Now, among the things to think about are that potentially one potential chumrah of making the injection to the neck is nukuvus aveshet is a very strict set of dinim. One reason has to do with the machaber holds that it possibly makes nukuvus aveshet might make the animal to a nevela, not a trefa. Shailas of nevela usually are more common than trefas because the animal does not have a chazaka beforehand. There's a question whether that's really a shita of the machaber. At the same time, the eggs from chickens is more kal, and the main focus seems to be on the shayla whether the chicken itself is kosher, not whether the eggs are kosher also. And there's all different kinds of sfeikas, and there are questions about the skill of the people who are doing it. where all this, the kula, the tzadla hokal over here is all dependent on the fact that the people doing this have a special skill and a special care. It's not as clear that they have the skill, nor is it clear that they have any reason, any veterinary reason, any of their own reason to not hit these parts. Meaning, we consider an animal to be a trade foot if we even make a neck of the veshet. So, if we were doing it with a person who was trained, we wouldn't want to hit the veshet. It's not clear that that medically is considered to be trade foot would affect the animal, and so it's not clear that they have any interest in not hitting the veshet. So, this is the, so to speak, the earlier, original shaila, and this continues to be a question. In places that are still giving injections to the birds the way I described, when they're a day too old, or a couple, some when they're 10 days old, giving these injections to these young birds and the way it's done. With the question being whether should we count on the skill of the person doing it, and even then, should we choose dafka to do it in the neck, in the chest, in the leg? There's different opinions about that. Where's the better place? Where's the place that's less likely to cause a concern? So all of that I've said until now is the background, and that's the original question that there was, had to do with whether, like giving injections to poultry. But in the 1990s, company Pfizer came up with a new method of giving injections. That's a method that in the United States just about everybody uses, and even in Eretz Yisrael, they're beginning to start to use this kind of method as well. And that is, it's called in ovo. In ovo means to say, if you give the injection not after the chick is hatched, but when it's in the egg, while it's still an egg, before it's hatched. And the goal, they want to give the recommendations are to give it in the 18th day, when the egg is 18 days towards hatching, which is to say, an egg hatches, takes 21 days to hatch. So after in 18 days and a certain number of hours, to give the injection at that point, that's considered to be the best time. It also coincides with a transfer point, which is in most hatchers, the eggs get moved from one place to another, from one machine to another at that point, and that's a very good time to give the injection. Okay, so in order to understand how that injection works, you need to look at just what an egg looks like, what's going on inside of an egg. The injection is given into the wider part of the egg, the Rosh Hakad, the wider part of the egg, and the top couple of centimeters of that egg is filled with air. That's called the air cell. Okay, there's a little pocket of air. And just below that is something called the allantois, I hope I pronounced that correctly, which is liquid waste from the chick. Okay, and then underneath that is the amniotic sac, and that's a sac that has liquid inside of it, has the chick in it, and it also has the yolk sac as part of it, and the rest of that is filled up with amniotic fluid. Okay, so that sac has in it, by the time we come to the 18th day when the injections would be given, the amniotic sac is taking up basically the whole egg, and the way the chick is sitting, the chick's head is towards this side, towards the Rosh Hakad, towards the wider part of the egg, and his neck is not pointing up. His neck is sort of wrapped around just below the ear sac, just below the ear, and it's sort of his head is actually facing a little bit downwards, and sort of towards the pointy side of the egg, and tilt a little to the side, and sort of covered by his wing as well. Okay, so that's how the chick is laying as it's sitting in the egg. So, in order to, the Pfizer and others have studied this method of giving injections, and basically what the injection is that it pokes a hole and it cracks a hole in the shell, a tiny hole in the shell, with one tube, and then through that tube comes a needle that goes in and squirts in the vaccine. The studies of this have shown that it's most effective if the injection goes into the amniotic sac, and either that the injection goes in, the vaccine goes into the amniotic fluid, or into the body of the chick. Which is to say is, if it doesn't go deep enough, if it goes higher up, like into the ear cell, or the waste part of this, it will not, it has a low level of being effective. So you want to go further down in order to get it into the amniotic fluid or into the chick. So, for that reason, from the perspective of giving the vaccine, the goal is to give it as late as possible in development, because the chick is getting bigger and bigger as the days go on, and therefore the later you give it is the better chance you have of hitting the chick or getting into amniotic fluid, which is their goal. So studies have been done. The studies involve hundreds of thousands of chickens. And here you see what, and in the study they were doing, they were watching to see whether are we hitting the chick, or where exactly is the did the injection end up at. And they studied it at different days and different hours. And this is what they found. As you see in the chart, if the injection is given in the 17th day, or 17th day, 17.5, meaning halfway through 17th day, 17th day and 12 hours, it never hit the chick. And as you go further and further with a few odd findings, by and large, the rate, the chance of hitting the chick gets higher and higher, to the point that if you do at the end of, in the middle of the 19th day, you're hitting like 40% of the chickens. Okay, but it goes up higher and higher as the day goes on, which, again, is completely logical, because the chicks are getting bigger, and the needle is a certain size, a certain length, so the chances of hitting the chick are getting more and more as you go higher. Okay, so the question is, have we caused the chick to become a trapher? Are we hitting the chick in a place that makes it a trapher? If you think about it, what's going on here is someone's poking a needle at the chick. And as the days go on, the way it's done properly, the way it's supposed to be done, it'll hit, the statistics come out 10 to 15% of the time will hit the chick. So if that's what's going to happen, so then are we causing the chick, these birds to become a trapher while they're still in the egg? So basically, they're just poking the hole at the chick, and even a tiny hole in certain spots is going to make the bird into a trapher. Okay? So we're going to consider a few different possibilities as to why that might not be a concern. Again, without all the detail, just some of the information to understand what's going on. So, a number of the reasons to think that it might be okay revolve around something that's reported from Rabelski. Rabelski wrote something small about this, and what I'm about to say is not in that written version, but those who were involved in the Shiloh, it was not myself, I was not involved with Rabelski with the Shiloh, but those who were say, they said the following. He said, if you hit do something to the chicken while it's still inside, while it's still in the egg, it cannot become a trapher at that point. A chick that gets hit, that gets a hole in the wrong place, while it's still inside the egg, cannot become a trapher during that time. Okay, so for now, let's proceed with that understanding. We'll question that in a few minutes. But for now, let's proceed with that assumption that a bird can't become a trapher when it's in the egg. And the logic for that would be is, well, as a bird or an animal, for that matter, develops, there's lots of holes and all kinds of places where a living animal would be considered a trapher, or a bird would be considered a trapher. It's part of it's just developing. So it's we don't find it so strange to think that while it's in development, that shouldn't count towards being a trapher. Okay, that's what we'll work with that assumption for now. So what will happen? So but now what happens is, let's say it's not a trapher; it's inside. But what happens when the bird comes out? We've made a hole. Let's say, we'll talk about the most serious concern. We made a hole in the veshet, and now the chick hatches, and it has a hole in its veshet. So is it now, when it was in the egg, we said it was not a trapher, because that was before it was born. But now that it has been hatched, is it now an automatic trapher as soon as it was born, because now we see that it has now it has a hole in its veshet? It still has a hole in the veshet. Okay? So that a little bit depends on the problem. In the Mishnah, that list of all the different animals that are trapers, it uses different words to describe what happens to the different thing. So, for example, for some of the trapers, it talks about an organ or something being removed. Like it says, Nita HaKaveh, the Kaveh was taken out. And for other ones, it says something was missing. Like, for example, there's Harea Shachosra, a Harea that's missing from the lung. Okay, so it's missing a piece. So, Rama says, that's B'diuk, with a lot of care of how that's being said, which is to say is, Nitel, when it says the ones that are Nitel was removed, those types of trapers are only trapers if it was physically removed. But if it was born without that organ, if it never had that organ, it's not a trapher. It's only a trapher if it was Nitel, if it was taken away. As opposed to the Chosro, the ones that says that it's missing, missing is missing. If it's missing, then it's a trapher. Okay, and the Raja says this is not true. The Mishnah is just using different words, but it means exactly the same thing. And no matter what, the animal is a trapher, whether it was never born, ever had it, or it had it, and it was, and it got taken out. And the Mechaber passes like the Rajba, the Chumra, that the animal is a trapher, even if it never had the organs. For example, if it never had a liver, So it wasn't Nita HaKaveh, but that's Amos HaTrefel also. But well, he brings the Ram as a Yesh Amrim that maybe you could make up. And the Ramah says the Makom had some Rubri, you could be Semach on the Ramah, that it's Amos HaTrefel if it never had those types of words. Now, within those Shita Samekilim, within the Ramah Shita that you could, that has to be removed, what about the one that the Mishnah says a different word? It says Nike, like Nuku Vasafeshev, had a hole in that. What happens if the animal was born with a hole in it, which is our case? Okay, this is not something that was, where the Mishnah said it was Chaser, or the Mishnah said that it was Nitel. Here, the Mishnah uses a different word, which was Nike. Okay? The Taz says that the only time you could possibly make a about that is when it naturally was born with that kind of a hole. But if somebody made the hole, if that hole was, it happened because of some kind of trauma to the bird or to the egg, that it was that happened to the bird, then even the Rambam would hold that that's considered a nekev. So here, even if we would pass like the Rambam, that by certain things, if it's born with it, it doesn't count. Certain trefas that are born, the animal's born with, don't count as making the animal to a trefa. Seemingly, nikev, where it happened through an outside force, here, again, through the needle poking in, would be, seemingly, would even Rama would hold that would be considered to be a trefa. Now, there's another possibility, can't go into too much detail, another possibility that maybe, since it heals right up, as soon as you poke the hole in it, it closes right back up. That's a question about whether something that gets a shiloh within a rashi as to whether that's considered a trefa or not considered a trefa. That's a little too much for today. We're going to leave that on the side. But there's another possibility, and that is, again, we're working with the assumption that that Rabelsky had said that before the chicken is hatched, it's not considered a trefa. It can't become a trefa no matter what at that point. So we said, so it can't become a trefa, but what about the fact that when it comes out, it'll still have the hole in it? So we talked to one possibility why maybe that does or doesn't make a difference. But when we spoke to a veterinarian, he said, you know what, the chances are if you give an injection on the 18th day, then 3 days later, by the time the chick hatches, that there will be no sign of that injection. It will be completely healed up. You won't see any scarring, anything. It will completely healed up. Just have it do the way birds develop on their inside the egg. He said his assumption was that it'll heal completely grow up, heal back up. In which case, you could argue that animal is not, that's not considered to be a trefa. It has to do, again, with a different prima gutum. There, the prima gutum seems to say that if it had a nekev in a way that in a critical area, like the veshet, then even if it happened beforehand, it would seem to be that it just still potentially would be a chicken. It still would potentially still be a trefa anyhow. Okay, so that is to say, is that even, we hold at this point is that there was an idea suggested that maybe in the egg it can't become a trefa. And to that, we're sort of asking questions on that seemingly let it not be a trefa when it's inside the egg, but once it comes out with the hole, or even without the hole, it might potentially become a trefa right then at that point. Okay? So if we were holding over here, the only way to get around things would be to say is do the injections earlier. Okay, we can do injections early when we won't hit the bird. We would not like to hit the bird. Of course, the problem with that is, that's what the rabbi might want to do, is do an injection early, but the farmer and Embrex, that's the brand name for what Pfizer calls us now, they don't want to do it. They want to do it as late as possible to be a better chance of vaccine propagation. Now, what we've said until now, the reasons to be makel were what Rabelsky had suggested, that there's that a bird can't become a trefa when it's still inside the egg before it hatches. Okay, and in fact, there's a Tosfos who says that. Okay, there's a Tosfos who says that it cannot become a trefa before it hatches. It comes from a Gemara. The Gemara says talks about the possibility of the Isser of Chelev and Ivrim Lechai and trefa all happening simultaneously, and then the Gemara talks about a case that was Nitshava in Mitzias Ruba. And Tosfos says the simple reading of the Gemara is that an animal can become a trefa before it comes out. The Gemara wants to construct a case with Isser of trefa and Ivrim Lechai and chelev all happened at the same time. And it says what happened was it was nitrifah as it was coming out. That's when it became a trefa, as if to say had it become a trefa beforehand, when it was before it came out, that would not count. So that's not what the Gemara means. It's latavka. Even had it happened earlier, it would not become a trefa until it gets born. Like Rabelsky said, that trefas don't, that a trefa that happens when before the animal is born doesn't count. It's only a trefa when it's born. Okay, now that's true. That's what Tosfos says. But the Rami Yontif argues, and he says, I don't know. He says there's another Gemara with another unusual case, which is the Gemara talks about a case of a person who shechted an animal before it was born. Okay, he stuck his hand into the womb and the uterus, and he shechted the animal before it was born. Okay, and the Gemara talks about, and the Gemara says that the animal being a trefa when the shechita happened over there. So the Rami Yontif says that he argues on Tosfos, and he says no, it's not true, and really an animal can become a trefa even before it was born, which is like the simple reading of the Tosfos of the Gemara that Tosfos was on. And he says that even if you want to say like Tosfos says that an animal cannot become a trefa before it's born, he says that would be based on the assumption that the animal can't become a trefa because it depends on its mother for its sustenance. The animal is not an independent being. It's only living because of the mother, because it's attached. It's inside and it's attached to the mother. And therefore, that's why we would say it cannot become a trefa during that time. However, what would happen if we have it? That's all true for an animal. What Tosfos is talking about is for an animal where it has Isser of Chelev and Eiver Menachai, and he's talking about an animal. But even if you want to say that an animal can't become a trefa before it's born, that's all true by an animal which is dependent on its mother. But that's all not true for an egg, where the egg is not dependent on the mother. The egg is not inside, the egg is outside. It's hatching outside without a mother there. And therefore, to say that what Tosfos says should apply here, even if you want to say our Tosfos, it would only be true by animals, and seemingly should not be true by birds, by eggs, but animals, egg, birds that hatch through eggs. Okay, so we even according to Rabelsky, we had some questions, but now we're seeing that it's not so clear that even that there is even basis to saying that animal can become a trefa inside, and if it can become a trefa inside, then we're back to square one, and then hitting the bird in 10 to 15% of the time is going to make that many of the animals, birds, into trefas. So, I spoke to this about this question to different people involved in hashkacha of poultry, and most of them came with the assumption that it never hits the bird. It's not true. They think it does not hit the bird. To which I then turned and said to them, look, these are studies done by the companies who are building the system and using it and study them, and in fact it shows that they are hitting it 10 to 15% of the time. That depends based on the days that it was given. So we have a potential problem over here. Now, So one of the people who was involved in looking into this, as with many things to do with birds, was Reb Chaim Leike from the OU, and he saw something very unusual about the Embrex system. Okay, Embrex is the Pfizer name for using the system. They're the most advanced way of using of this system. Just about everybody uses them. And he said he saw the problem when the needle goes into the egg. So what it's done is you take a tray with dozens of eggs on it, and the eggs are brought into the machine. They come together, dozens of eggs together, and all at the same time, many eggs get vaccinated at the same time. Needles come down and hit them all at the same time. And if you look at it by yourself, if you just look at it, you get the impression that it's randomly hitting someplace in those eggs. And not because even the eggs are not even all perfectly standing straight up. Some of them are tilted to the side. Excuse me, they're not even all perfectly vertical. But the truth is that the system is very sophisticated and manages to hit the bird, each of the birds, almost in exactly the same place, no matter which way the egg is pointed. Okay? And it turned out also, when he looked into it further, it turns out that the place where it hits the bird tends to be, even if it hits the bird, it's in the chest as opposed to the neck. Okay? And the reason is, as I'm, as I'm mentioned beforehand, the way the bird lays is the bird is not sitting with its head pointing upwards. And we sure wouldn't hit the neck. What it is that the part that's facing up, the center of the egg, is what would be in the center of the egg is the bird's chest. The bird's neck is wrapped around the edges of the shell, sort of like along the inside wall of the shell. That's where the bird is laying, and its head actually faces down with a wing covering on top of it. So when the needle comes in and hits something, it's done very well that it hits the center, as we saw early from the Chasam Sofer, that this is an expert. This is way more than just a plain expert, like a human being who's an expert. The machine is built to hit the center of the egg, and when it hits the center, will not be the neck. The center will almost always is going to be the chest or the wing. And those are the parts that's going to be hit when it comes in, when it hits. And then, Rav Meir Levy from KJ showed me a picture from 2013, which came from Embrex. And what they did was they did a study where they injected 336 eggs, and when they did the injection, the vaccine had a blue dye in it, which is not unusual. Had a blue dye in it. And when after they inoculated these 336 eggs, they cracked open all the eggs to see where the inoculation happened by looking where the blue dot was. Okay, and what they found was of the 336 eggs, 29 of them it hit the chick. Okay, as you see here in the picture, the 29 of them didn't actually hit the chick, and each one of them you can see where the blue dot is, where the injection hit. Okay. And of those 29, which is about 8.5% of the birds that got hit, of those, only one of them hit onto the neck. Okay, in our what we call bird number 9, that's not the name, the number they gave it. Bird, it hit, near hit into the neck. So that is to say, this is just one study, but 2% of them were hitting, 2% of the whole batch got hit in the neck. Which is to say, is even what we've said beforehand, that 10 to 15% of the birds tend to get hit by the injection. That's not 10 to 15% getting hit in the neck. Most of them, the majority of those that are being hit, are actually being hit in the chest. Okay, in the chest, we're a lot better off than in the neck, and that's because when there's even a slight question that there was a hole in the neck, the Shulchan Aruch, the Dinim are very chomer about that. We always assume that it hit the veshet and it made a hole in the veshet. No matter, there are all kinds of cases with machmer. In contrast, when we talk about a question of getting a hole in the lungs, that's a simon lam involved. In Shulchan Aruch, simon lam involved, there are lots of clues from the very first halacha to the last. And the first halacha is about a case where a needle went through one layer of the lung, but not the other one. The last one is about if you have a needle inside the lung. So cases where seemingly you have to be concerned that there was a hole in the lungs. And there's a lot of cool, there's a lot of room to work over here. So over here, if it hits the chest, so in order to get to the lung, it would have to go through the chest muscle itself, maybe even through the wing, through the chest muscle, and then into the lung and make a hole in it. So there'd be more reason to be, more possibility to be made about that, as opposed to in the neck, it's not so common that it hits the neck. The neck would be more probable that to happen. But as we're seeing now, the actual possibility of hitting the neck is lower. Okay? It's still needed, but it's not any more what we would call needed. It's not any more 10, 15%, which is common that you have to be more concerned about. It's to the point of being needed to actually hit the neck. And therefore, there's a little bit more leeway, a little more reason to make. Okay, so I'm going to mention a proposal, but let's just summarize where we're holding at this point. The injections tend to be given on the 18th day, at which point 10 to 15% of the birds are hit. Possibility was mentioned that maybe the chicken does not become a trapha if the hole happened when it was inside the chick. There were a lot of and practical questions about that. Now, I should mention that even if 10 to 15% of the chickens actually became trafers, still there's potential to say call the porridge. Right, the animals are not trafers. But we'll see in a second. It would behoove us then to do something about it to try to solve the problem. But we could. It's true that right, that the animals lamaisa would still be kosher anyhow. Okay. Now, the ways to potentially solve it, to possibly solve it, would would be, we'll talk about solutions in a second, but at the same time, we saw that at the end that it most likely that it's going to hit the bird in the chest rather than in the neck, and therefore that's a reason to think that there's not such a good chance of a treifas, and might even be that it's not mir hamotzi, which would make life a lot simpler. Okay, so now in the following chart, you're going to see three things, three times. You're going to see that what happened is this discussion and this looking into vaccines is something that's been done over the past couple of years. But a few years before that, Ray Palachek was involved in Hashgacha on chickens, looked into this, and he drew up something called the Rabbinical Guidelines for in ovo vaccination. And those guidelines are, a lot of hatcheries have those guidelines, and they try to follow them, or they at least happen to know that that's what they wanted to do. So, and his goal was, which is should be everyone's goal, was to try to say, let's figure out if we can make less and less of the birds be hit. Okay, so what turns out is, if we look at the top line, the red bar in this chart, we see that the hatcheries would like to give for the James Way version, there are two types of hatchers. The James Way hatcher, they would want to give it from the beginning of the eighth, from late on the 17th day, meaning 18 hours into the 17th day, all the way to the middle of the 18th day. And in that case, they're likely, according to the statistics, to hit the bird 20% of the time. That, and for them, that's a positive thing. The rabbinic guidelines say they should do it, from towards the end of the 17th day, the same, but finish by the 6 hours into the 18th day. So the chick is 6 hours into there, and that would hit 10% of the time. And that's the yellow line. The green line shows that we could actually, if we did it even earlier, finish before the 18th day started, then we would hit none of the times. We would never hit the chicken, and then we would have no shadow of chafers that out. Now, when you're looking at this, you might think that this sounds unreasonable, such to be so specific on hours, and it's not true. The hatcheries are very, very on top of when a bird was put in and when it comes out and exactly how many hours it is. They even put them in and take them out in a special order to make sure that they always do the inoculations at just the right age. So to say we want you to do it at 17 days and 18 hours is not something that's unreasonable. It's harder for them because they're less likely to hit the vaccines will be less successful because it won't hit as getting as deep, which is exactly our goal. So again, we're sort of struggling is that our recommendation is do it earlier and earlier, so to make sure that you hit the bird less or not at all, and their interest is exactly the opposite, to do it as late as they can. Okay, the other version, the James is the more popular, the other version called Chickmaster has similar rules. The Chickmaster, the birds are considered a different age, so to speak. So now, the hatcheries themselves, the way that the recommendations from the company would be to do it in ways that would hit 25 to 30% of the chicks. And for some reason, in this case, the rabbinic guidelines, for Palachek, have it still hitting at 20% of the time. It's not clear why he's giving, in the first case, he wants them to hit, won't be effectively 10% of the time, and now it's 20%. And again, if we change the timing to be even earlier, in this case, the beginning of the 18th day, we could make it in a way that would never hit. Now, all that being said, it's worth mentioning that I mentioned that the rabbinic guidelines, these guys, Rabbi Palachek, the hatcheries know them. They know about them. They have copies of it to use it. But not all shechitas are as on top of the hatcheries as they need to be. And shechitas really, some are better or worse about being on top of the hatchery, that they follow some kind of a protocol. Which is to say, if the hatchery agrees to go by Rabbi Palachek's guidelines, his rabbinic guidelines, so someone's got to keep an eye on that when it happens. There are clear records about when an egg had its when it has its inoculation. It's not a secret. It's very open. It's very clear. The company has records of when these things happen and when they plan for it, and they schedule it. Has to do with the days of the week when they put in eggs on this day so they can come out on that day and they can give the shots on this day. It's all very clear. And it's the Hashgacha's responsibility to keep an eye on that. And whether they like the proposal that I'm saying that says hit it 0% of the time with the current Polychek's proposal, they hit it a lower percent of the time. If they have any requirements to hit at to do it at a specific time in order to cut back on the chance of a trade foot, or cut out completely the chance of a bird being a trade foot, then it would behoove them to then follow up on that and keep an eye on what's going on in the hatchery to make sure that it's being done at the right times.